Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Pablo Lopez was ace again yesterday against a top-flight team in the Baltimore Orioles. But, you know, he's got only got so many bullets in the chamber. They take him out in the bullpen, can't hold on. Talk about yesterday's game a little bit, Jim, and are you a little concerned about the bullpen right now?
I'm concerned about the entire team right now. Yeah. It's basically a bad team right now. Mm-hmm. And I think when healthy, if they ever get healthy, they will be a good team. But right now you have three good starting pitchers and two guys who are terrible. You have, you know, a couple of relievers who are pitching really well, but other guys not adapting well to being forced into difficult roles. And then the lineup's a minor league lineup right now.
Yeah.
You know, and there are games you lose in the regular season, and everybody goes, shrugs, and says, okay, that's just one of those 70 games we were bound to lose. This was not that. This was a game they should have won. Ace on the mound, lead late innings, one of their better relievers on the mound. They should have scored more runs. Jax should have pitched better. Jax talked about it afterward to, you know, our Phil Miller, saying, hey, everything here is so tense. I threw my, you know, you can't play baseball tense.
Right.
You know, Jax tried to throw a changeup. Well, he's tried to throw a changeup hard because he's under, feels under pressure to, you know, to, for this team to win a game. Throws too hard, it gets jacked. Yeah. You know, you just cannot play with your hands around your throat, and right now they are.
Yeah, and they kind of got put behind the eight ball with so many injuries so early on, but, you know, they need some of these guys to step up and make a name and make their careers.
Yes, and, you know, last year they had a lot of injuries. They came out of it at the right time. They came out of it with the right kind of people like Royce Lewis, and their secondary players played really well. People they called up from the minor leagues, people on their bench. Willie Castro was great for them. Kyle Farmer was very good for them. Everybody they called up seemed to contribute. This is the opposite of that right now.
Yeah.
Right now, their young guys aren't performing. Julian's taking bad at-bats. Walner's already been sent down. You know, and now you have guys who probably shouldn't be in the major leagues in the major leagues. That's not what the way contenders should be rolling right now.
Especially when you have games against the Dodgers and the Orioles. They've also started out with a pretty stiff schedule.
Yes. And, you know, I thought that was kind of a big thing. They salvaged one game out of the Dodgers series. Obviously, the Dodgers are a much better team right now. And the Orioles, they could have salvaged a game here at the end, and that would, they would have felt a lot better about that. Still an incredibly long way to go. Remember, last year, everybody I talked to through the end of July thought the Twins were a terrible team, a terrible franchise, should blow it up, you know, fire everybody, get some high draft picks, whatever. And I kept on saying, you know, all I have to do is score another half run a game and they're going to be good. And that's what happened. They got Royce Lewis up. They started scoring more than half a run a game, and they won a tear. They win the division easily. They win a playoff series. All that could still happen, but they have to do a better job of salvaging these series right now.
And wait for Royce Lewis. What, have you heard anything on him? Last I saw was like late May, even, for him to return.
I think late May is probably likely.
Okay.
Get him completely healthy, have him play, you know, Triple A for a while, feel really comfortable, come up when he's really ready to contribute. You know, obviously, as bad as it is to have him out right now, what you can't have is him rushing back and then re-injuring himself and being out for the season. Because, they, you know, as silly as it sounds, for a guy who's had 250 career at-bats, he's their best player and the most important player.
Yeah, no doubt. So they need to get him back. And Correa, I was, they changed it to an intercostal strain rather than oblique. That generally means a little shorter return time, but I haven't seen anything on his potential return date.
I think he'll be ready to play at the end of his 10-day stint. I just don't know if he'll need a rehab, or if he'll want to get right back in the big league swing of things. I would think the way the team is playing, he does feel, I mean, he played through that plantar fasciitis last year and admitted at the end of the year, hey, if the circumstances had been different, I probably just would have taken time off this year. But he felt obligated to play for that team that just roared with a massive contract and had so many injuries. So I can't tell you exactly when he'll be back, but I think he'll want to get back in the big leagues pretty quick.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about the story? I think it was ESPN reporting that not only did Robert Kraft not push Bill Belichick for other jobs, he actually actively worked against him to get a job with Atlanta. that he talked Arthur Blank out of hiring Belichick as his coach. Have you heard something about that?
It's funny because I have some friends who cover the Falcons. I was in Georgia last week, and I was talking to a lot of people who have some connections, and that basically, you know, the way it came down is it sounded like Belichick and Blank had talked, and Belichick was under the impression that he had the job, and it was just a matter of working out details. And then, you know, Blank brought in some of his other people. Blank gets the call from Robert Kraft, and all of a sudden, the Falcons start slow playing stuff and say, "Well, you know, this could work if we do this and if we do that." And Belichick thought he was coming here with a blank, going there with a blank slate. He was going to get the job. B, he was going to bring anybody he wanted. He was going to try to put the old band back together. Mm-hmm. And I think after Blank's conversation with Kraft, he started thinking maybe that's not the best idea.
Interesting. So you don't know necessarily that Kraft was saying, "Look, don't hire Belichick because he's going to want to take over your entire organization."
I think, you know, whether he said it or implied it, that was the message.
Yeah. And Arthur backed away from that then.
Yeah.
Do you think Bill Belichick has a role in the NFL again at some point here?
I would really think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he's going to land or when, but I find it hard to believe whatever negatives you can come up with about Bill Belichick, and there are negatives.
Mm-hmm.
We do think he cheated a lot. He didn't win without Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He still was one of the greatest defensive coaches of all time, and he, you know, I guess that's the catch, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If his ego isn't in a place where, hey, I'm Bill Belichick, I won 6 Super Bowls, get out of my way, I know everything, that might be hard for an owner to accept.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, okay, hey, obviously things didn't end well with New England, but I learned from it, and if we hired the right people here, we can really make a run of things. I think an owner would love to hear that. If the message is, hey, give me all the money and all the power and get out of the way, I just don't know how many owners would feel comfortable with that right now.
Yeah, Robert Kraft and Belichick had that unique relationship where he just kind of turned everything over to him. But, you know, I've heard a lot of speculation that their relationship was never necessarily friendly, more working partners, but that when Belichick said it's Tom Brady or me, basically, Kraft maybe wishes he had chosen differently and kept Brady instead of Belichick.
That was a big mistake, and I understand why he did it, because Brady maybe had 1 or 2 good years left in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the end of his career, and Belichick, you know, you would have guessed that Belichick would be able to rebuild a franchise given his expertise. But, again, I think his arrogance didn't allow him to admit mistakes, and he ended up building a really bad roster. And so, you know, I understand why Kraft did it. I can't blame him for doing it that way, but in retrospect, he made a terrible mistake.
Yeah. So, we're a week out from the first round of the NFL draft. Mock draft seems to be changing all the time, and other quarterbacks being mentioned with the Vikings, and this is always just entertainment season. You can't really take anything for its face value. Where are you at right now? What do you think the Vikings are going to do?
Well, I don't think they would have traded for the second first-round pick unless they were intended to trade up and get one of the perceived top four quarterbacks.
Okay.
The question, and what Kwesi has brought up lately, is, hey, there's just only a certain amount we will pay. We're not going to give up, you know, we're not going to give a Herschel Walker deal for a guy who's never thrown an NFL pass. And the Broncos and the Raiders also desperately need quarterbacks and might be willing to trade more than the Vikings right now to get the 4th or 5th pick.
Hmm.
So I think it's going to be a really dicey situation. And listen, I think J.J. McCarthy is a good prospect. Would I trade 2 first-round picks this year and another high draft pick to get him? I don't think I would.
Yeah.
And we'll see whether the Vikings would. I'm going to go back to what I've been saying since like last October or November, which is if they can find a way to get Michael Penix Jr. Without giving up all these assets, I think that's the win. I could end up being proven wrong. There have been a lot of great general managers who have absolutely whiffed on first-round quarterbacks. I'm just going with my gut. I just figure I should first guess instead of just second guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to see them get Penix and a great defender in the first round rather than trade 3 high picks for McCarthy, who is, you know, I think he's a good prospect, but he also did not play in a passing offense.
Mm-hmm. I've been a McCarthy guy at the number 11 pick, but like you, if they have to trade up to the 4 or, you know, or the 5, then that makes me a little nervous about it. If they could sit at 11 and he or Penix or whoever is still there, you know, that would be comfortable. But how about if they trade up to the 3 spot? Let's say New England does want more picks and it's Drake May. What does that change your mind?
I'm just not that high on Drake May. Drake May is a big, strong, good-looking athlete who can throw on the run and he does a lot of things well. I think he has some flaws with his footwork and decision-making. Mm-hmm. I think he has to end up with the right people. So listen, maybe O'Connell looks at him and says, hey, this guy, to me, looks like Justin Herbert, and I can work with him. And I wouldn't blame him. And maybe Kevin O'Connell's exactly the right guy to work with him. Mm-hmm. But he makes me a little nervous. Now, if Jaden Daniels somehow slipped to number three, then I'd say sell the farm.
Yeah.
Drake May makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. Very good. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.